Yeah, hey, this is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into the Cannabis Corner right here on KTAH Radio Tacoma here in Tacoma, Washington. And I hope everybody's having a great day, and thank you for tuning in. This is a show about cannabis and recreational cannabis and medical cannabis, or this also known as marijuana or hemp. And we like to talk about all the topics that have to do with this plant and what's going on in our communities around cannabis and going on out there in the world. And we do some headlines, and then we go over a topic every week, and then we'll go out with our It's a Buzz segment. So again, thanks for tuning in. If you'd like to follow more or learn more about what I am doing with cannabis, you can follow me on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. I am a cannabis writer and a cannabis researcher as far as going out there and getting information and compiling it and getting it out to the public. So that's what I do, and write for a couple websites. And so cannabis is a big thing in my life, and that's a good thing. I started out as a teacher here in Washington, but I've kind of moved into the field of cannabis. And I really enjoy sharing my knowledge with everybody out there. So let's get right into our headlines this week. And the first headline this week is the Washington has a home grow bill down in Olympia. Now, if you're not familiar with this, when we say home grow bill, every state that has passed recreational cannabis out there has a provision that allows adults over 21 to grow 4 or 6 plants, depending on what state you live in, except for Washington. California just passed their law. They have 6 plants. Oregon has 4. Alaska has 4, so on and so forth. Washington did not add that to their legalization bill in 2012, although that is really the will of the people. Anyone you talk to will tell you that when they say they want to legalize cannabis, what they mean is, yes, they want to be able to buy it at the store, but number one, they want to stop getting arrested for it, and number two, they'd like to grow it at home. And we have some bills down in Olympia. We have the House Bill 2559 is in the House, and it has passed the House Commerce and Gaming Committee and is in the Finance Committee right now. And then there is a bill 6482 in the Senate, I believe. And that bill also does the same thing. And what this bill will do is allow every adult over 21 to grow 6 plants at their home. Now, it's a very simple bill, and it also says that you can only grow 6 plants. So if you have a married couple, you can't grow 12. You can still only grow 6. And they had their first public hearing on this, and I'd like to address a couple of concerns that people brought forth as far as these home grow bills, or as far as everybody being able to grow at home. So the number one of the biggest concerns everybody has about everybody being able to grow at home is what's called diversion. So that means people are growing at home and then taking that and turning it around, selling it, making money on the illicit market. And just to push back on that a little bit, to have 6 plants and do this would be extremely difficult. I mean, growing inside 6 plants, you're not really getting enough to be able to turn around and make any kind of money on it. The same thing with if you are doing it outdoors. So it'd be, and the market is already flooded. There's not a lot of people are going to want to buy your cannabis you're growing at home. And especially if you just have 6 plants, you're not really going to want to give that cannabis away, selling it or otherwise. So the diversion argument is, you know, it's a popular argument saying, oh, well, if everybody grows, everybody's going to be out there selling marijuana everywhere and selling it out on the corners and everything and making money, and it's going to be just so terrible. And that is just not the case. Also, you know, think about this, too. You know, if you have some friends that you know that they like to garden. Now, think about that. But it's not a lot of friends. And so there's another argument out there that's saying, well, if we let everybody grow cannabis, everybody will be able to grow their own, and then they'll stop buying it at the stores. Well, just like I was saying, not everybody has a garden out there. Not everybody grows tomatoes. Not everybody grows peppers or squash or whatnot, so they have to go to the store and buy it. And it's going to be the same way when it comes to cannabis. It is not easy to go. This is a popular belief that it's just a weed and put it in the ground and grow it. Well, that's not necessarily the case. If you just put it in the ground and let it grow, it's just going to come out pretty awful. So it actually takes a fair amount of work and know-how and learning to be able to do this properly. So it's not really going to take away from the sales in the stores. So another concern is youth access. And this is a concern, and it's also repeated some of the oppositions to the bill, and there's a lot of politicians repeat this, youth access. And for instance, one of the people said, oh, well, if my neighbor was growing cannabis in their yard, my kid could go over and pick the cannabis and then take it and use it. Which my reply would be, number one, why aren't you supervising your kid enough that they're not going in other people's yard taking their stuff? You know, why haven't you taught your kid not to be picking on other people's gardens? And even if a kid went over there and did pick a cannabis flower, there's really not a whole lot that they can do with it unless they go through a little bit of processes of drying and whatnot. So it could be a concern with youth access, but if youth want to get some marijuana or cannabis, they're not going to go next door and take it off your plant. They're probably just going to go get it from one of their friends or something like that. So, and in fact, as we talked about on this show, youth cannabis use is down. So this is not the biggest concern as everybody makes it out to be. A lot of youth are staying away from cannabis, as we said, that when it becomes illegal and it's a little less flashy to be using it, a little less hip, a little less cool, it's not anything illegal, it's just normal, then youth access will go down. And that is what has happened. And then another concerns are if everybody starts growing, then it's just going to be the smells going to be everywhere, ruining everybody's community. This was coming from some people that are from Eastern Washington, where they are having some problems with smell of cannabis. And again, to produce enough smell to make it terrible for your neighbors, you would have to have more than 6 plants, and you would really have to be just flaunting it out there to make it awful for your neighbor. And 6 plants, you might could smell it as you walk by if you're in the backyard or something, but it's not going to be anything overwhelming. So it's just another concern that is, you know, it's a valid concern. People have their concerns, but people just need to kind of educate themselves on actually what is going on with the cannabis plant. And so those two bills are trying to make their way through the Washington State Legislature. I don't really want to comment on whether I think they will pass or not pass, but we will see. I wrote an article for Ganjapreneurs on this, if you'd like to check it out over at Ganjapreneurs, and I will be putting one out if the bill passes or fails. We'll be putting out another article later on this year. So that's what's going on with the home grow bill. So next up in our news section, we're going to go to California has actually started selling recreational cannabis. So on January 1st, they started doing this, and it's expected to be the largest cannabis market in the country. And it already was, as far as the illicit market. We talked about how much cannabis California makes and as far as how much they consume. So a lot of it goes out all throughout the illicit market. And what California is trying to do is capture all that revenue and bring it in for tax dollars and to make it legal. Because, you know, California, as you'll see here in a second when we go with these regulations, it seems like the lawmakers know the cat's out of the bag. You know, unlike here in Washington State where they keep trying to put the cat back in the bag and say, no, we made a mistake in 2012. We really don't mean everybody need to be smoking cannabis. Down in California, it seems like, okay, the lawmakers are going well. A lot of them are going well. This is already happening in our communities. We need to regulate it and try to make money off of this, make tax dollars. And a lot of communities down in California are going a long way to try to normalize it and make it just part of their community. So that's a good thing going down in California. Now, there is a problem down in California with the high taxes on the cannabis. The eighths, as far as 3.5 grams or quarters, are pretty expensive. I saw a receipt the other day. It was pretty high for an eighth. Kind of like Colorado, $60-$70 for 3.5 grams. That is a problem and could result in the sort of illicit market just keep ticking right along. And there is also a problem in California with the moratoriums. Kind of like Washington and some of these other states, counties and cities are saying, no, we don't want this in our borders. And they're banning cannabis businesses within their borders. So that's going on in California too. Now, California is doing something a little bit differently than Washington in that they are allowing everybody to grow 6 plants. And they are saying, okay, you can have 1 ounce outside the home. So if you're out riding the bus or riding around on your bicycle, you can have 1 ounce in your pocket. Now, this is what I'm saying when they're California's just like, okay, this is out of the bag. So they'll let you grow six plants, and for possession limits, they're just saying, okay, whatever you can grow off those plants at your home, that's how much you can have. Now, how much is that? Six plants, you could maybe get a pound or more. So I guess if you roll up on the house and they got like 20 pounds and there's six plants growing there, you might think, okay, something's going on here. But that is a really good regulation, and that is a sensible regulation we need for cannabis here in Washington. We need to trust the adults in the state, number one, quit trying to treat adults like children and tell them what they can do all the time, and say, hey, we trust you. We know you're not going to grow this cannabis and go selling it all on the streets. You just want it for yourself, and you can possess at home ever how much you can grow on those plants. That's how much you can have. And that is a very sensible regulation there in California. And good on California for doing that. And then another sensible regulation going on in California they did not do here in Washington. And I'm going to kind of be brief on this because this is kind of a hot button issue for me. Is they are actually giving their dispensaries priority licenses. So if you are in business prior to September 1st, 2016, they're just saying, okay, if you have good standing in your community, you're all up on your taxes, we will let you turn over into the new system. Now, in Washington State, they kind of did the same thing, but they put a limit on it, and then they made a lottery, and then they picked a whole bunch of winners and losers. So you had a whole bunch of just a couple winners and a whole lot of losers, and they didn't get the priority treatment. So there's also another article up on that about that in Gonchapreneurs, about how many people actually got their licenses taken here in Washington. So California's regulated cannabis market, it is still kind of a mess and just all over the place, but it is, the Californians are taking a very great approach, a very good approach to this, so good on California for moving ahead with this. So next up is Vermont passed recreational cannabis, and we don't have a whole lot of details on this, because it just happened, but Vermont passed recreational cannabis, and what is making this noteworthy is that they were the only state to pass it through their legislature. So it went through the House and then the Senate, and then was signed by the governor. Every other state had to do it by the initiative process. So that's a pretty big deal, because if any of you know who have been out there trying to make some laws, to get laws and legislation passed through the legislative process is very difficult. So to get that through there, good on Vermont. We'll have some more details on that in the coming weeks. So the next one up is not a positive story, kind of a negative story. And that is, I had a couple good stories there at the beginning about cannabis regulations. But, we're in the world we're dealing with, not everybody is up with the cannabis movement, and there still are a lot of people out there pushing back on that, and that is totally their right, and we have to continue to educate and inform the public so that this plant became more normalized. And the story I am talking about next is the VA, and this is kind of sad, because they were going in the right direction. The VA has decided not to study. Let's see, I'll get this language exactly right. They're not going to study the effect of MMJ on medical cannabis on vets. They had started going in the direction where a veteran VA doctor would say, hey, why don't you try cannabis with your PTSD or your TBI? So they are going to stop steering veterans towards cannabis, and they won't be studying any kind of positive effect that it might have on them. Hopefully they won't go to, like, I have known in the past, like, if you test positive for cannabis, that you could perhaps you lose your benefits and things like this. So hopefully the VA does not continue to crack down on this more, because there are a lot of good groups out there that are doing work with veterans with cannabis. And here in Washington, if you are interested in getting involved with a group that is working diligently here in the state to open up the doors for veteran access, and that would be a group called 22 Too Many. So check them out on Facebook, and I believe they do have a website, 22toomany.org. Go there, give them a donation, and they're doing a lot of good work over there, 22 Too Many. So you know, not so good work going on at the VA. So maybe we can try to get that momentum back that we lost at the Obama era in 4 or 8 years. So let's see. Keep an eye on that. And, you know, just a side on that, PTSD is a qualifying condition here in Washington State. So if you know any veterans out there who are suffering from PTSD or TBIs or some kind of issue from their service in the military, you know, maybe mention to them, say, hey, you know, cannabis can be an alternative treatment for your problems you're having there. So that was passed a couple years ago. So that, you know, good on the Washington State legislature for adding that to their qualifying conditions. So now we're going to get right into the topics. And yeah, my name is Lucas Barfield, and you are tuned into KTAH 101.9 FM right here in Tacoma, Radio Tacoma. And our topic today is a topic that I sort of have steered away from. And as a person who, as a scientist and a researcher, I sort of consider myself, I'm a skeptic. I don't jump on bandwagons very often, and even when the evidence is clear that something is happening, I'm still pretty skeptical about it, just because I like to, you know, just try to keep my eyes open on what's happening. So this next topic is something that I've been somewhat skeptical about, but is sort of warming up to, and that is, do cannabinoids kill cancer? And first, before we go into this, I would like to give my standard disclaimer. Whenever I talk about medical issues in cannabis, I am not a doctor. I am not a naturopath. I do not have any kind of medical degree. I do have a master's in education and a science degree, and have been researching cannabis for four plus years, and have years and years of experience around the cannabis. But I am not someone who can recommend you cannabis as a doctor or naturopath. So what I am saying is not meant to be any type of medical advice. If you choose to use cannabis to treat cancer or any other condition, my advice to you would be to talk to your doctor. And what I am telling you is simply for informational purposes only. So that is my disclaimer. I'm not recommending anyone use cannabis for anything. This is just the information that I picked up out there on the doing the research for an article I wrote recently. So, do cannabinoids kill cancer? So, first of all, we want to describe what are cannabinoids. So, cannabinoids are the chemical constituents in cannabis that are related to your body's internal endocannabinoid system. And everybody's body produces cannabinoids inside your own body, and that's called an endocannabinoids. But then we have exocannabinoids, which are in the cannabis plants, tetrahydrocannabinol and cannabidiol, THC and CBD. Those are the two most prevalent. Now there's a CBG and a CBN as well. So we won't really get into those, but the two main ones are CBD and THC. So those are the cannabinoids, and those go into your body and interact with your endocannabinoid system. So for years and years, we've known that cancer has been helpful, or cannabis has been helpful in treating the symptoms of cancer. I've spoken to people that were involved in the movement in 1996 in California to get cannabis legal for medical use, and a big part of that movement was helping cancer patients. And it is well known that if you use cannabis during chemotherapy, it can help with appetite, it can help with stimulating the immune system, it can help with your mood, it can help you sleep. So there's just lots and lots of ways that you can use cannabis for palliative care. That's hard for my southern accent to say, but there is lots of ways that you can use cannabis to relieve the symptoms of cancer. So over time, though, people started noticing that, maybe cannabis is not just helping with the symptoms. Maybe cannabis is actually curing this cancer or helping cure the cancer. So after a while, people started noticing this, and they started doing a little more research and looking further and further, deeper and deeper into this. And then, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, you would just start seeing on like a certain conspiracy theory websites or just websites all over the place, cannabis cures cancer. Cancer can be cured by cannabis. I mean, all the time you'd see these kind of headlines. And like I said, I was always kind of skeptical because, I mean, not super skeptical, but cancer is a very powerful disease. So to make those kind of claims, you know, you just want to make sure that you're 100% accurate. So there have been some studies recently that have shown that cannabis, the cannabinoids can kill cancer by a couple different pathways or methods. And we're going to talk about those methods right now. And the first one is what's called CBD and THC both can stimulate what's called apoptosis, A-P-O-P-T-O-S-I-S. And what that is basically when your cells basically kill themselves. So if you think about your skin, all the skin cells that die every day, those cells are committing apoptosis. So all throughout your body, your DNA chain is ticking along there, tick, 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 and then it comes to a point that reads, hey, let's start taking this cell apart. It's done its due, and we're going to make a new cell. So that's what's called apoptosis. Now, with cancer, one of the mechanisms of cancer is, and I don't know if it's not this is the only mechanism in cancer, but what happens is that mechanism, that apoptosis stops. And so the cells just start going crazy, dividing out of control, and then you have cancer. So your tumor just grows and grows and grows. Those cells aren't dying, and apoptosis is not occurring. And I hope I'm saying that right, apoptosis. So they started studying this, and in Israel, they noticed that CBD actually stimulated apoptosis by stimulating little things called caspases. This is another medical term, but caspases are little scissor-like molecules that in your mitochondria, so the mitochondria in your cell, the powerhouse of your cell, when the DNA says, hey, it's time for apoptosis, the mitochondria breaks down and they release these little things called caspases. And these are like little cellular scissors that go around and start cutting proteins in your cell and start breaking your cell apart. So as it snips the little proteins that's holding your cell together, cell starts coming apart. So in Israel, they've had a study that showed that CBD stimulated these caspases and therefore created more apoptosis. And now they had another study in Italy that said that CBD, now we're sticking with CBD, so that's cannabidiol, that is the non-psychoactive chemical constituent in cannabis. Most strains are not high CBD, but they're high THC. So in Italy, they found that this chemical, CBD, would stimulate what are called reactive oxygen species. So that these are like little, this is like a family of molecules that are like super oxygen molecules. So one of the ones they were saying was like peroxide. So these are like super compacted little packets of oxygen, and CBD would stimulate these, and these would go into the cancer, and cancers thrive in an anaerobic environment or an environment with no oxygen. So the CBD would stimulate these reactive oxygen species. Those would go into the cancer and start breaking it down. So that was another pathway that CBD was shown to kill cancer. Now, there's a doctor in Spain named Cristina Sanchez who has been studying THC's effect on cancer for decades. And her name is Cristina Sanchez, and she's in Spain, as I mentioned. And she has commented on this also, saying that this is a big deal, that when the THC goes into the cells, it just kills the cancer cells and doesn't affect all the other cells around it. So THC also has a effect on apoptosis. And so from what I have heard, now this is just my anecdotal paying attention and listening and reading a lot of stuff, this takes massive amounts of THC and CBD. So this is not, when they're saying THC and CBD is killing cancer, it's not saying, okay, just smoke a a joint, and then you're going to cure your cancer. So this is like large amounts. So if you're someone with cancer and this is something you're interested in, do your research and talk to your doctor, because this is not to be, and you know, find you a cannabis expert, talk to you about it, because this is not something that is to be taken lightly. So this is massive amounts of THC. So you definitely want to talk to your doctor when you're dealing with these kind of things. So now another avenue on this, and you hear a little bit about this in the mainstream media, but the synergistic effect of cannabinoids and cancer drugs. So there's a couple ones. There was one that was for prostate cancer, had a synergistic effect with cannabinoids to reduce the tumor, and also for pancreatic cancer, that it also was shown to have a synergistic effect and work better with cannabinoids to kill the cancer. So that's another avenue, using cancer drugs with cannabinoids. So there's a lot of research going into that. And then finally, they found, there was a lot of research done that found that CBD increases the effectiveness of CBD. CBD increases the effectiveness of THC. So this is well known that CBD will, because how CBD interacts with your liver, it causes you to metabolize THC slower. So it decreases the effect THC has on you. And so what they found is they could give you a massive amount of CBD first, and this would increase the effectiveness of the THC, because they didn't have to give you as much THC to get the same effect. Because as I was saying a minute ago, if you're treating somebody with THC for cancer, you're going to be giving them so much that they can actually have really negative side effects, convulsions, psychotic events, and things like this. So CBD, they found that CBD does increase the effectiveness of THC. So that is just a little information on cancer and cannabinoids. So again, that is not meant to be any kind of medical advice. It's a very serious topic, using lots of cannabinoids. So talk to your doctor, talk to your naturopath, talk to your person at your dispensary. This is something that you really want to, there are some Facebook groups out there that will help you make some decisions around this. So very interesting topic, and there's a lot of research and a lot of new things coming down the line on cancer and cannabinoids. So we are about to be finished with our show. And again, if you'd like to follow what I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter at MJIsMedicine. And then we're going to get out of here with our final topic. It's a bust. And I wanted to mention that cannabinoids and cancer, you can go over and find an article on that at cannabisfn.com, and find some more information on that. So this week in It's a Bust segment, this is about a Nebraska elderly couple arrested again with cannabis. I thought that this was going to be one of those cases where they were like medical cannabis patients, that they were arrested with some growing in their backyard, but it was not. They were caught on the interstate. A guy named Patrick and his wife, and they were found with 60 pounds in their car driving home to Nebraska. So Nebraska is one of those states where you do see a lot of arrests and busts there in Nebraska. So could use some liberalization of some cannabis laws in Nebraska there. So thank you so much for tuning in this week. This is KTAH and 101.9, and have a good day. Bye-bye.